I thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon to you and to all colleagues. Mr. Chair, the past 2 days have been very intense and we believe very successful. We really appreciate the constructive spirit and the outcome-oriented focus that was displayed by all delegations. It's encouraging to see the broad interest in swiftly finalizing and adopting the political declaration. And it was also encouraging to see the broad range of states engaging, including those that suffered civilian harm caused by explosive weapons in populated areas, to those directly and indirectly affected by armed conflict, to those currently engaged in an armed conflict. Explosive weapons is an issue that concerns us all, as the important contributions of international organizations and the ICRC and civil society once again demonstrated this week. Mr. Chair, thank you very much for the immense effort on the consultations, the discussions, and opportunities to exchange positions. We would like to wholeheartedly congratulate you and your team for seeking a balance between all views expressed while maintaining the ambition of a political declaration that provides added value and that will make a difference for civilians. Mr. Chair, the evidence is clear. About 70% of victims of IVIPA are civilians, and these 90% are, of course, direct victims. And these 90% don't even reflect the indirect harm and the reverberating effects of explosive weapons use in populated areas on civilians. Yet looking at the pictures of recent conflicts in cities, the dramatic civilian catastrophe caused by large-scale use of IVIPA in cities is evident. The need to exercise restraint and refrain from such use is clear, and looking at these devastating pictures of humanitarian and civilian harm from recent urban conflict, I think we all agree that such use should definitely be avoided. Yet over the years, what we've seen rather points to the contrary. You said yesterday, Mr. Chair, we need to send a strong signal that the international community is determined to address the humanitarian harm caused by IVIPA, and we wholeheartedly agree with that. This political declaration is our opportunity to work together and to make a difference for civilians on the ground, but we of course need to keep a minimum level, or not a minimum level, a strong level of ambition. Looking at the evidence of 90% of civilian victims, it's not good enough to simply state that existing international law is the framework and that there are also cases of legitimate use of explosive weapons. We should take an extra step. We need to have commitments that express the true willingness to work and to make a difference. In Section 3, we heard a lot of very welcome suggestions, such as the ICRC suggestions on point 3.3 and point 3.6. We also support making 3.4 and 3.5 operational and concrete by specifying the commitments to include implementation tools, processes, policies, and practices. The most carefully looked at element in the declaration will, of course, remain 3.3. It has always been. But unfortunately, from our perspective, the discussion has been convoluted a bit over the years by focusing on specific words rather than the true meaning of the words, or sometimes even the entire sentence around that word. A commitment to avoid the use of explosive weapons is, of course, not a prohibition of explosive weapons nor of their use. It's a commitment to more carefully consider the use of explosive weapons, including the specific context, the payload, and the broader implications, namely the direct and reverberating effects, and of course, compliance with IHL. And of course, the reason for this proposed and more careful consideration is the necessity to reduce civilian harm. And protecting civilians is an obligation under existing international law. And 90% of victims of use of explosive weapons being civilians, of course, is not acceptable. Chile and Mexico yesterday explained eloquently how such a commitment would reflect the legal considerations based on applying existing IHL rules. It would contribute to a more accurate assessment of the actual impact of an attack and strengthen compliance with IHL, including by taking into account indirect and reverberating effects, which are amplified in urban areas. Such a commitment on a political level would of course also raise the political attention on the protection of civilians and strengthen IHL compliance more generally. This is urgently needed, looking at the conflicts of today. So as we approach the finishing line for our negotiations, we urge all to embrace the opportunity to find an ambitious formulation, a commitment that expresses that states are determined to reduce the unacceptable pattern of harm and that will refine their policies towards that end by more carefully considering potential uses of explosive weapons in populated areas, efforts to avoid restricting or refraining from the use, all with the objective of changing the unacceptable pattern of harm. Mr. Chair, the best result will be achieved through true inclusive multilateral cooperation, and we very much commend you on the transparent and exclusive manner you and your team have conducted this process. We encourage all to work together towards a strong, meaningful political declaration. The humanitarian and security impact of EVIPA concerns us all, and the effects of armed conflict ultimately are also borne by all, no matter the relative size of our military. We encourage all states to accelerate to work together and finalize this declaration, adopt it at the political level, and start working on its implementation. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.